Since the horrifying December 2012 Newtown massacre, where deranged gunman 20-year-old Adam Lanza shot and killed 20 first graders and 6 educators at Sandy Hook Elementary School, states including Connecticut, California, Colorado, New York, and New Jersey have moved to strengthen laws governing gun sales. However, more than 24 states have moved in the other direction, passing laws that weaken gun control regulations, expanding in many cases the locations where concealed weapons are permitted to be carried. Most recently, Georgia's Governor Nathan Deal signed the Safe Carry Protection Act, which allows concealed carry permit holders to bring firearms into bars, schools, churches, and specific government buildings under certain circumstances. The law also expands the state's Stand Your Ground gun law and no longer requires firearms dealers to maintain records of sales and purchases for state purposes. While the National Rifle Association applauded Georgia's new law as the most comprehensive pro-gun bill in state history, Americans for Responsible Solutions, the gun control group founded by former Arizona Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, who was severely wounded in a 2011 mass shooting incident, called it the most extreme gun bill in America. Your reporter spoke with Vlad Everett, director of communications with the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. Here he talks about Georgia's new gun law and the link between weak firearms regulations and increased gun violence.
The goal, as with every single other piece of legislation promoted by the NRA, is to sell more guns. Legislation like this is promoted to make people more comfortable with the notion of bringing guns out into public in virtually all places that they might go, and therefore in making people more comfortable or more likely to buy compact pistols, the types of weapons that you would use to carry. You know, some of the worst provisions of the bill deal with arming criminals. The most disgusting provision of the bill, I think, is the one that extends Stand Your Ground protections to criminals illegally carrying guns in public, including felons, which is just unfathomable. There's another provision in that bill that allows first-time offenders, including people who are violent misdemeanants and some felons, to obtain concealed carry permits in Georgia. And there's another head-scratching provision that literally prevents law enforcement from stopping someone in public to make sure they are properly permitted to carry a gun in public. So if you are a criminal and you would like to bring a loaded gun out in public now in Georgia, you got a free pass because you can be totally confident that law enforcement cannot stop you and ask to see your permit. It's a grotesque bill, and it has nothing to do with safety and everything to do with putting more money in the pockets of rich NRA executives like Wayne LaPierre and Chris Cox.
How controversial was this in Georgia? You know, I haven't followed the local papers and local media outlets about what the debate was like, but it seems to me this would be highly controversial and polarizing, even in a southern state, you know, that is famously supportive of so-called Second Amendment rights. But what was the debate there like?
Well, it was incredibly controversial. I mean, I think it's important to understand, too, that the bill was originally far worse. The original version of the bill would have forced public colleges in Georgia to allow guns on their campus. Gun violence prevention activists in the state rallied and fought very hard alongside university administrators and students to defeat that provision. The original version of the bill also would have forced churches to allow guns on their premises. Faith leaders organized to defeat that. They now have the ability to opt out of that. And from what I understand, I am not aware of any church yet, although I suspect there will be some that is elected to have guns on their premises yet. So this was a very hard-fought campaign. The bill was not approved literally, and this is no exaggeration, until like the last minute of midnight before the legislative session ended. I mean, it went right down to the wire. It was also very interesting because, you know, Georgia is not traditionally a state where gun violence prevention activists have a lot of strength, but we had a lot of people working this in Georgia this time, and we built a really nice coalition there that I think we can go back to in the future. So, the dynamic there looked a lot different this time. It was very, very controversial. It's a really dangerous situation.
Lad, what's the experience of other states who have these open-ended gun laws? Has it contributed to a spike in violence in other places where these laws have gone into effect?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you look, at the states in this country with the highest rates of gun death, it's like a who's who of states that have extremely weak gun laws. So, just to name the top five states with the highest rates of gun death are Alaska, Louisiana, Montana, Alabama, and Wyoming. That's basically what it looks like. Weak gun laws lead to a higher rate of gun death. It's really not rocket science. Conversely, if you want to talk about the five states in this country with the lowest rates of gun death, from lowest moving up, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New Jersey, and New York. So again, this is not something that's rocket science. When you take steps to properly secure firearms within the home and to deny firearms to people who are, clearly dangerous or who have histories of violence, you save lives. It's that easy. And we need to be moving in a direction in this country where more states are taking even basic steps to deny firearms to dangerous individuals and keep them away from kids.
That was Ladd Everett, Director of Communications with a Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. Learn more about groups advocating stricter gun regulations by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org. Thank you.